You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. At the beginning of this year, as part of my 2026 experiment, I committed to a very simple daily practice. Every morning and every evening, in that soft, sleepy, drowsy space between when you fully wake up and when you're not quite asleep, I would declare who I was choosing to be as an energetic vibration so that the energy field around me knew exactly who I believed myself to be. And the word I chose was prosperity. I am prosperity. And it wasn't as a wish. It was more of a declaration of my identity. I am prosperity. And I would speak these words, I am prosperity, 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, and I chose to do it for 30 days. Because really what I wanted to do was to find out what might show up for me if I were to practice that with no expectation whatsoever for 30 days. And I have to say those 30 days were quite something. Things started arriving into my pathway that I hadn't planned for and I certainly couldn't have engineered. And I downloaded and I made connections and I networked and I received inspirations and ideas and creative work flowed. And I felt I was flourishing and life felt less like something I was doing and much more like something that was being channeled right the way through me that brought prosperity to me as a reflection of the vibration that I was declaring for myself. That was a fascinating experiment, a really amazing 30 days. And then the 30 days ended and I deliberately stopped the practice. It wasn't because I wasn't enjoying it, it was simply that part of the experiment is to see what happens and to see what wants to come to me next. And so I stopped the practice and nothing immediately arrived to fill another 30 days, so I just let it ride. Being in trust means that you don't seek the thing that is trying to find you. You simply let it seek you out instead. If you've been following along with my 2026 experiment on my show, welcome back. It's great to have you here again. And if you're joining me for the first time, my name's Amanda. You are very welcome to come and join in. Let me give you a quick background to what I'm doing though this year so that what I'm about to share with you on the show is going to make some kind of sense from the very beginning. At the start of this year, 2026, I decided to approach the year very differently. Usually I'd grab a fresh calendar or diary and I'd start allocating this set in stone fixed dates for things relating to family and important things relating to work and holidays and all the dates for important events that I already know about ahead of time. They'd all be set in stone before the year started and they'd be put neatly in my diary or on my wall calendar so that they wouldn't be forgotten. So that's the birthdays, the anniversaries, the deadlines, the holidays, the appointments. You know the kind of thing I'm talking about. All of the things that take priority through the course of the year. Now, all of those dates are very important. Of course they are. But in the main, I wanted to approach this year slightly differently, Last year I felt at times that my diary was a series of milestones running from one commitment to another. And though I wouldn't say it was in any way a bad year, it was a year that chose me instead of me choosing the year, if you follow my drift. So instead of allocating tasks and responsibilities to the many days of 2026 in advance, I decided as an experiment to try approaching this year in a completely different way. So New Year's Eve 2025, I took a large wall calendar, the kind that you pin up so that you can see all the days at once, and I started dividing it into blocks of time, allocating coloured spaces to odd-numbered and even-numbered weeks throughout the year. All odd weeks, that's 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, etc., they were orange, and all even-numbered weeks, that's week 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and so on, they were going to be green weeks. And my orange weeks were mostly dedicated spaces for client work and for admin and for banking and for catching up on letters and emails and making sure direct debits were going out and, I don't know, following up clients and sending out their session notes and writing and planning workshops and courses and all those types of things. And all the even weeks, week 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 and so on, they were blocks of green. Green for what I chose to call spaces of pure potentiality. This was time in my year, throughout my year, on a regular basis, that I would deliberately leave open and available for whatever wanted to arrive. No agenda attached, no plan written in, nothing to fill up ahead of time. And these orange and green weeks were intentionally designed as open systems instead of closed off containers. And if I'm honest, 2025 did feel very much for me about setting targets and achieving goals. I don't know if this is what it was like for you, but it was very much about, you know, also pushing forward, and at times it all felt a little bit serious and a little bit overwhelming for me. I know that many other people have also felt that too. There's a lot going on energetically at the moment. There are lots of channels. They're all crashing, energetic channels. I mean, they're all crashing into one another. And they were pulling us in lots of different directions. And this year, I just wanted to throw all that out. You know, targets were thrown out. I chose to approach everything through the lens of experiments. You know, I wonder what would happen if. I wonder what would happen if for 2026 I decided not to run my life or attempt to run my life with military precision. I wonder what would happen if I allowed myself to explore a part of my personality that I never really allowed to explore, or a part of my personality that had been subdued or changed or remoulded into something that didn't really feel like it was given a chance to express itself anymore. I don't know if you're relating to this. I hope you are. So my orange spaces, they do tend to fill up very quickly with things that feel a little bit more like they have to be ticked off the list. And that's fine, as long as I'm really reasonable with what I feel is reasonable to try and achieve. And what I've found really interesting about these orange spaces is that when I am in a specific type of mindset where I know it's about admin, I know it's about showing up for people, I know it's about excellence in every way and mastery that I bring, it's as if that entire week I become that energetic vibration. And then for the green spaces, well, I deliberately don't fill those green spaces in advance, if at all, if I can help it. I quite literally allow myself to choose what I would like to do in the main in that day and just see what shows up. And I engage with it when it arrives, and it can be a small thing or it could be quite a big thing. But that's rather the whole point of the green weeks. I simply make myself available to the universal energies and I wait to see what the universe decides to send my way. I have to tell you, the universe has really shown up to play its part on those green and also those orange weeks. It's amazing how things are coming into flow with the rhythm of this. And each week on my shows for UK Health Radio, I'm sharing what's coming up and how I feel it relates to my 2026 experiment overall. And I'm hoping that if I share my journey, that you might like to come and walk the pathway with me. So very much welcome to my 2026 experiment. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. So when that 30-day practice came to its natural conclusion, I deliberately wasn't looking for another 30-day cycle straight away. That's not how the 2026 experiment works. The whole point of it is that I create the space, I create the vessel, and then I allow whatever wants to arrive without forcing or planning or deciding or choosing in advance. If I make a commitment, though, I show up for the commitment. Of course I would do that. If there is no commitment already made, I shift into either a green space of receiving or an orange space of receiving. A green space of showing up and being in service, an orange space of doing the same. So I simply stayed open as much as I could in the lead up to those weeks relating to the pure potentiality, those green weeks. And at first, after this 30-day practice was concluded and I was just simply staying open to the potential of it. And as it happens, I was sitting in one of my green weeks. It was the start of this week, actually, when it arrived. I started the week and nothing had come to fill the gap. And I thought, oh, okay then. So here I am. I'm at the beginning of a brand new green week with nothing particular going on. And I thought, well, what I'll do is I will go through some of my old books and see whether or not there is something inspiring in those books that I might be able to do. Maybe a hobby that I used to enjoy, I could reread the books, or there might have been something in there, some sort of craft work that might take my fancy. So there's nothing particular going on. And as I came across one of the books that I was inspired by, I actually came across a small book that I also hadn't read in years. And as soon as I saw it, I had this kind of energetic sparkle around it. I'm sure you know what I mean. I was actually looking for a book on homemade cheese making, which is one of my many hobbies. And right next to it on the bookshelf was a book I haven't read in a very long time, but they used to hold very dear to me. And it's called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and it's by Deepak Chopra. And the book was still sitting on my bookshelf, and so I picked it up and I started flicking through the pages, and I realised that the universe had delivered, right? The universe, though, hadn't just sent me the book. It had actually sent me my next 30 days practice, because this book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, has a daily practice built right into its structure, if you'd like to use it that way. Seven laws, 7 days, right? 7 days of the week, one law could be dedicated to each day, Sunday through to Saturday. And that's how I used to use it. A whole week contained within a single cycle of practice, repeating and deepening with every week that passes. And for a 30-day cycle, I could do 4 whole weeks, and that means 28 days practicing these amazing laws. And then the last 2 days, I could either choose to try and practice all of the laws at the same time, which is actually what happened. After a while of applying these laws, you'd find yourself bringing them into all sorts of times and experiences and conversations, not only the one that's sort of dedicated to the particular day. I'll get to it in a minute and I'm sure you'll understand what I mean. But really what I was looking to do was to find a 30-day practice and to be open to whatever came, and this is what came. And so I went, thank you very much, right? So for a long time, years ago, This was my morning rhythm. I'd sit quietly before the day really got hold of me, and I would read one of the seven laws, and it would be the law that I dedicated myself to for that day. And the practice I would introduce into the day was always inspired by that particular law. So a bit like an old friend, this practice found me again and I was delighted. And I think, as I said before, it found me at precisely the right moment when I had 30 days of open space in front of me and a willingness to commit to something new. And I didn't go looking for it. It arrived. It found me. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, is the very essence of the 2026 experiment. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. This is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson. And on this show this week, we're going to be exploring the seven spiritual laws of success, a book written by Deepak Chopra, and how the daily practice of practicing the seven spiritual laws of success, choosing one per day as you cycle through the week, has woven its way back into my life, into my practice in my 2026 experiment. And I think it will be really good for us together to take a look at each of these seven laws, because when you examine it, especially through the lens of the energy field, as I would do now, it can take on quite a different meaning. I think one of the things that has been so interesting about rereading this book, and it's a book that I probably haven't picked up in about 15 years, is because when you reread it, it's as if the words speak to you differently, but it's not because there's anything in the book that's changed. You have changed your perspective, your knowledge, your wisdom, your development, your evolution, your ascension. You're the one that's changed. And so what's interesting is when I was rereading this book, it was as if the book was talking to me as I now, which of course it would be, but you know what I mean? It was as if when I had written the book before, because I'd made little notes and things, I have a habit of writing notes and thoughts in the margins next to specific parts of the book. When I was reading the text, I was not receiving the same messaging from it. So then, let's see then what Deepak Chopra was writing about back in 1994, so it's going back away. And this is what I'm working with every day in Future Self Energetics. And I would really, really like to invite you to take this practice with me for the next 28 days.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Future Self Energetics Show. My name is Amanda Nelson. We've been exploring on the show today how the seven spiritual laws of success came back, it re-arrived, if there is such a phrase, into my 2026 year, into my awareness in my 2026 experimental year. And I think it's the next natural step. And I've been practicing it now for about 7 days. So I've got 30 days of conscious energetic identity work that is behind me. And I'm now going to do a deep dive into 30 days of the seven spiritual laws of success. So I'd like to take you now through the seven laws that Chopra writes about and what each one looks like through an energetic lens as well. But remember, how the book speaks to me might not be how the book is speaking to you. And I would really suggest you go and get yourself a copy of this book if you haven't already got one. If you have already got one, though it might be in the back of a shelf somewhere because you haven't looked at it for a while, why don't you go and grab it? Why don't you reread it and see whether it speaks to you with a slightly different tone, with a slightly different level of meaning in the way that I also discovered it did. So in the book, let's break it down. There are seven laws and each chapter talks about each of those laws in detail. Then the daily practice works like this. Seven laws means it's easy to choose a specific law and make that your focus for an entire day of the week. So each day of the week carries its own same law, its own same focus. And rather than simply reading about the law, the seven-day practice asks you to bring the energy of that law consciously into your day and intentionally live with it and inside it. And the idea is to let it inspire you. Inspire your choices, take part in your conversations, influence the way you move through ordinary moments and connections. That's what makes the seven laws and the 7 days of practice so incredibly powerful. And I used to love this practice because it was so simple. So let's begin with Sunday. So Sunday is the law of pure potentiality. I wonder why this book presented itself to me. It always makes me laugh. I think the universe has got such a sense of humour. So this is where the week begins, and it's where everything begins, really. Pure potentiality is, after all, that source of all creation. It's the field of infinite possibilities that exist before anything takes form. And Chopra suggests that Sunday be a day of silence, perhaps of stillness, a pause, a day of communion with nature, a day to simply be rather than a day to do. And when I read this, I thought immediately of those green spaces on my wall calendar, because that's precisely what those weeks are. Pure potentiality. There's no agenda, no plan, no outcome deciding in advance whatsoever. Just an open space in which whatever wants to arrive can do so. And I love it. And then Monday is related to the law of giving. Now, energetically, giving and receiving are different expressions of the same flow of energy. And that's the way things work through the universe. You cannot give without receiving. You cannot receive without giving. And when you give, because this is really the focus of the law, when you give, you keep that flow moving. And so if you're in any way stuck or immobilized in any part of your life, do choose to practice this law. The law of giving will move stuckness out of the way. It's also really nice to give without any expectation of receiving sometimes as well. Chopra suggests that on a Monday, you give something to everyone you encounter. And so that doesn't mean a gift or money or anything. Really, what the fundamental of this is that try to give a genuine compliment. Maybe you smile at somebody. Perhaps when you are driving, you slow down to let somebody pass. Maybe, for example, you see somebody that's struggling with a bag and you offer to help them carry their bag. It's just a moment of genuine attention, acknowledgement. Perhaps you compliment somebody in your life. You tell them how you care about them, how you love them, how you wish to support them. Invite them to tell you if there's something that you could do that would mean that you could give something genuinely valuable to them. And I think it's the authenticity and intention that's so valuable in this. But the thing is, the law of giving, you get to choose when, who, how you do this. There is no rule to it. What we do is, it can be something as simply as sitting for a few moments and sending out positive vibrations and energies into the world for anybody that needs it, for example. It could be saying a very simple prayer. It could be putting out some food in a bird feeder, maybe some scraps of food or seed or vegetables or something that you would normally put in your recycling. Maybe you could put that out so that nature can benefit too. So energetically, this particular law, the law of giving, it addresses one, I think, of the most common energy forms of energy field blockages. This is the one that I encounter the most. And that's not blocked because you aren't a giving person or that you haven't been giving. It's just that if you're looking to receive something, and we know that giving and receiving is actually along the same energetic flow, the fastest way to actually unblock a potential blockage is for you to get into the law of giving, because then it will automatically unblock the law of receiving. So if you're a person who's focusing on what they need to receive or what hasn't arrived or come yet, or if you're focusing on the gap between where you are and where you want to be, I think it could be, and I know this is a slight digression from the book, but I think it could be that you've inadvertently closed the very channel through which abundance flows. So the law of giving, back on topic, opens up those channels again. It's an actual act of declaring yourself to be in the flow rather than outside of it. It's an act of declaring yourself to keep that flow in motion and also open, rather than declaring yourself to be out of the flow and immobilized. And if you like the idea of working on behalf of the universe or attracting work with guides and guardians and angels and mentors, then this is a superb practice for you, because the flow of giving intentionally makes you a conduit for the universe and those guides and guardians and messengers and angels to reach somebody through you as a conduit that needs reaching but can't be reached easily in another way. I recall how this used to happen, like I was moved to the right place, that the right person was there, the right moment in time would present itself. And then I simply delivered the gift or the message or the smile, and it genuinely affected the recipient in a way that I wasn't expecting it to. You know, how could I have forgotten this practice, actually? I'm sitting here as I'm speaking to you about it thinking, how could I have forgotten that? The joy that it actually brought. Tuesday. Now we're on to Tuesday, which is the law of karma. We know that every action generates a force of energy that returns to us in kind. What we sow, we reap. Like attracts like. But Chopra goes deeper, I think, with the simple... Yeah, he goes much deeper than the simple version of this law that most of us learnt or we've interpreted it as. So Chopra invites us to become conscious choice makers, to pause just momentarily maybe before acting and just ask, will this choice bring fulfillment and happiness to me? And will it bring fulfillment and happiness to those around me? And then to allow the comfort, or indeed the discomfort in your body, to guide you as to how to make the choice. And is this choice a good feeling choice for one and all? Energetically, every frequency you broadcast returns back to you. It creates an energetic ripple that eventually comes back. And it comes back like it's been reflected at you in a mirror. Tuesday then is the day to notice how your choices are affecting you and all those around you. Make choices with conscious awareness rather through habit or a need to react or respond in haste. Wednesday then, this is the law of least effort. In a world that seems to really put a great emphasis on effort and struggle and pushing ahead and getting through, the law of least effort is a complete breath of fresh air. It says that nature's intelligence functions with effortless ease. You don't need to try. Grass doesn't try or strain to grow. It grows because its nature is to grow. You grow because it's your nature too. respond to the call of the growth, but you don't have to be pushing to grow all the time yourself. It's the same as the sun. Sun rises because the earth is turning. The turning, the spin, is the earth's natural flow. We turn and then the starlight finds us. And when we're truly aligned with this, when we're acting from our authentic selves, rather from, I don't know, some fear or the need to do something or prove something, our actions carry, and also our growth, our evolution, it carries that same quality of significant ease, the law of least effort. The law of least effort has three components, really. The first is acceptance, you know, which really means making peace with every moment exactly as it is. And then the second component is responsibility, which means not blaming anyone or anything else for your situation. And the third, and I'll dig into this one a little bit more, is defenselessness, which means relinquishing the need to defend your point of view. And this came up for me big time in a close relationship I had this week. And I think I negotiated the situation much more effectively because I chose to apply this law when it happened. When you no longer need to defend who you are, you're operating from a place of such deep security in your own frequency, your own truth, that nothing external is going to destabilize you. And you don't have to prove yourself or argue with someone or respond in any way apart from who you authentically feel that you would choose to be. So this is vibrational sovereignty in its most complete form. And when you're open to not having to defend your point of view, for example, then you're actually open to see all points of view as equal. And it was reminding myself of this, I think, that helped me navigate the rather difficult situation much better.
The station that makes you feel good. UK House Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Amanda Nelson. And on the show today, we've been looking at Deepak Chopra's seven laws of success and their individual daily practices. And I want to bring you to the final three now, because, and I've separated these out deliberately from the others, because I think these are the ones that are speaking most powerfully to the territory this year's 2026 experiment is taking me on, all right, or into rather. So Thursday, the law of intention and desire. Intention and desire, when released into any field of pure potentiality, has infinite organizing power. I'm going to say this again, as it is so incredibly powerful. Intention and desire, when released into the field of pure potentiality, have infinite organizing power. So the universe is a way of rearranging itself around a very clear and genuine intention. A clear intention, when stated and then released, should be trusted to materialize. So if you recall, when I was doing my first 30-day practice, at the beginning and the end of each day, I would declare myself as prosperity. That means that intention and desire, when released into the field of pure potentiality, have infinite organizing power. And a clear intention means that the universe is compelled to rearrange itself around that clear and genuine intention. I had so many instances of feeling like prosperity was coming into my experience when I was when I was working with that affirmation, I am prosperity, for 30 days. I mean, I invite you to have a go. It's absolutely amazing to try it. So a clear intention, when stated and then released, has to be trusted to materialise. That's part of this. And I talked about this in more detail in a recent show called Two Men, Two Chairs, and A Wish to Go Home. Or it might have been the other way around. It might be Two Chairs, Two Men and A Wish to Go Home. But I'm sure you'll be able to find it on UK Health Radio. Neville, this is a story about Neville Goddard. He wanted to go home, and his mentor, Abdullah, used the law of intention and desire to show him, to demonstrate that he needed to inhabit the desire that he had, rather than to try and search for it or to engineer it in some way. So you have to inhabit your intention you have in order for it to come to you. So intention and desire, when released into the field of pure potentiality, have infinite organizing power. And the universe, as it always does, when the energy field is clear and the intention is genuine, it must rearrange itself to deliver the physical evidence of the thing that is desired. So that if that's you being able to travel to Barbados, or if it's you being able to elevate yourself so that you can achieve a job or have mastery over a particular craft, for example, like my cheese making, then it's the universal law that if you declare yourself, if you declare your intention, if you declare your desire, and you choose to inhabit those and no other thoughts, that the universe is compelled to fulfill, because it has to. Every Thursday, then, this can be the day to set your intentions clearly and then trust they're manifesting entirely. Friday, we're into the law of detachment. Now, I think this is a pretty misunderstood law, or at least from my perspective it is. Detachment doesn't mean not caring. It doesn't mean withdrawing or hiding or being passive or non-reactive or indifferent to things. It's not that. It means holding your intention fully while releasing your attachment to how and when and in what form anything arrives for you that you might be desiring. So when you have an attachment to an outcome, Chopra says, and so do I think it's based in fear. He says that too. It says, I really don't trust that this will come to me in the way I want it to, so I must grip it and mold it tightly and control every step of its arrival. But detachment steps forward and says, look, I know this is coming. I don't need to know exactly how, and I might not yet know what it's going to show up like. I know what I am seeking, and I'm in that moment. I'm living in the dream fulfilled. I'm occupying that space. I don't know how I'm going to get there, and I don't know how it's going to show up. But what I am going to do is I'm going to sit in the law of detachment. I can feel comfortable in the uncertainty, and I can be at ease there, because uncertainty is not going to be my enemy. It's not the enemy of manifestation. The law of detachment maps so beautifully onto the green spaces on my calendar then. I didn't fill those weeks in advance because I deliberately didn't want to choose what would arrive. I was staying detached. I was staying comfortable in the not knowing. And what arrived was consistently more interesting and more aligned and more surprising and delightful than anything I could have chosen and then planned out for myself. That then is detachment working. And that is Friday's practice. Saturday is the law of Dharma. Dharma, if you're unfamiliar with the word, is it, It means purpose. Chopra teaches that every soul has a unique gift, a talent so specific and so individual to them that no other human being on the planet has it in quite that combination. And when you express that gift, especially when it's in service of others, that is when life becomes truly fulfilling. That's when the manifestation field opens most generously, because you're no longer operating from the ego's agenda, but from the soul's purposeful service. Everything you need for the most successful possible incarnation is already preloaded into your manifestation field, even before you incarnate. So when you're working your light, following your path, living your soul's desire, then your manifestation field will simply open its stores up so exquisitely. I've been thinking about this a great deal in the context of this year. When you align with your Dharma, with your actual purpose, rather than the one you thought you were supposed to have, or the one you were told or encouraged to believe that was yours, well, then the law of least effort starts operating naturally and things move with ease and doors open and opportunities present themselves to you that you didn't even know were there. And so you are able to live the law of Dharma. You're able to live the law of your purpose. And we've cycled through the entire week. We arrive back at Sunday again, back in this space of pure potentiality. So that's 7 laws, 7 days, 1 cycle, repeating and allowing yourself to go deeper each time. Keep a journal, talk to people about what you're doing and invite them to join in as well. What I love about returning to this practice now in the context of the 2026 experiment is that the experiment itself is the system that makes the practice possible. Because you can't truly live inside the law of pure potentiality if your week is so packed with obligations and duties that there's no space for anything to arrive. If the space is already taken up with goals and targets and commitments, there is no space to shoehorn anything else in. You can't practice detachment, for example, if you're gripping your diary so tightly that nothing unexpected can ever find its way in. And so the green spaces and the orange spaces in my amazing wall calendar, the open systems and all the experiments, these are so well supported by the practice of living in these 7 laws. So there you have it. I'm going to be exploring the 7 spiritual laws of success through the lens of my 2026 experiment for the next 30 days. And I hope that what has come through today on my show feels both inspiring and genuinely timely for you as well. 7 laws, 7 days, 1 practice, and it arrived without me even looking for it, because I was actually looking for a book on cheese and what I received was a brand new practice. I was just simply open to it arriving, and of course it did. As you're listening to the show this week, pay attention to any of these 7 laws that landed differently inside of you than maybe the others did. I simply invite you, if this happens, to sit with the law without delay. Apply it straight away. Listen to this show again. Find the law and listen and learn how to apply it, or experiment with how to apply it, because your energy field is showing you what it needs to take on. It's showing you the next step, the step that takes you further towards the success that you're seeking. And if you feel drawn to try the daily practice yourself, all you need, I think, is to start with, for example, this show, but do try and get hold of that original book, because then you can work with it yourself, because Deepak Chopra goes into it in so much more detail than I have time to share with you on my show today. 1 law per day and the willingness to stay curious about what could arrive and how you could choose to respond to it. I'm so glad that you stayed with me to the end of the show. I'm really glad too that you are always here and we are sharing this journey together. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.